welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
First off, Coach, congratulations on getting another win, keeping the team alive and in the second round of district, second consecutive year. You've had the chance to look back at the film now. Is anything new kind of jump out at you after the game against Sedalia?
Oh, no, we just got to correct the coverage piece. Don't too much like breaking down coverage when we can do something about it. Other than that, I thought everybody played with enthusiastically. We played enthusiastically, and we played with a lot of grit, and the guys worked hard. To when things broke down, we did work to correct them, so that was a good thing.
I know we talked a lot after the game about the success the offense had even without Jalen Thomas. I'm going to bring up the injury question a little earlier than I usually do, just because of who Jalen is and what he means for this team. How's he looking going into this week?
And so that's what we're determining now. He's going to work out today and see where he stands. We're going to tape him up and put him in some cleats and see how he's working and see where he's progressed to.
And then, you're moving into a matchup with Lebanon. Just what do you think is going to be the key to getting back to your second straight district championship and beating the Yellow Jackets this Friday?
Well, first of all, defensively, we're going to need to just neutralize 36. The kid can run. So we need to make sure we can hold him at bay. And then not let him hurt us so much that we're giving up points at the point, and keep him behind the sticks, third and long, make it third and long for them and make them have to, throw the ball, and see what they can do with that. Offensively, we just need to be efficiently as possible. There's probably not going to be very many chances for each team to get the ball, being that both of us run so much. So we got to make the best of each possession we have on offense.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. Kyle, I guess at this point of the season, you're just happy to be, moving on and still playing at this point. But I do feel like that, we have to kind of go back to last week's 49-20 win against Smith Cotton, and I'll just ask you straight out, what was it about this game that was so commanding, whereas the first time was kind of a close game between those two teams?
So I think we talked about it, or we certainly talked about it on last week's podcast, that the first matchup coming off the Helias loss,
sure,
the whole team was kind of disheartened, maybe lacking a little bit of confidence.
Okay.
They came in last week very confident and, from the jump were able to move the ball effectively even without Jalen Thomas.
Right.
And defensively, there were a couple of issues here and there, but, never that made it a close game.
Yeah. I think that was the thing that was most impressive was, I thought maybe they would play better this time around. But again, without Jalen, you kind of go, okay, that kind of throws everything into disarray. And to still have that commanding of a performance where you're able to just go, okay, the offense was still very, very effective even without them in there, that's got to be pleasing to, Coach Collier and the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the offense still scored 6 touchdowns without their number one option. And it was mostly Evan Schaefer.
Right.
He had 3 on the ground and 3 in the air. Just a fantastic night from him. I forgot to mention, defensively, there were a couple issues here and there, but also 3 interceptions.
Right.
One that was returned for a touchdown.
Okay.
So, very impressive performance in that, right?
Yeah.
And, Isaiah Franklin came down with 2 of the interceptions. He had the touchdown. His first interception set up a touchdown. Brian Burton had an interception later in the game that set up a touchdown.
Okay.
So, offense really using the opportunities that
sure
it was given,
yep,
with those extra possessions to go down and capitalize. That made a huge, huge difference. But yeah, the offensive efficiency was very, very impressive,
yep,
when you're missing your number one offense. The rushing game, not as potent.
Right.
Which
right,
it's not going to be.
Sure.
If you're missing a guy of Jalen Thomas's quality.
Yeah.
So the ability to then make it not a passing first offense, but a passing primary offense.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. I was wondering how much of that with Schaefer being able to do both was there an emphasis one way or the other to your vision?
Play calling wise, no.
Okay,
it was still Avere, right?
Right.
That was still the primary focus of the offense was running Avere. They didn't change from that. But, like, you look at the yardage, and the passing was over 200. The rushing was, I think, around 150.
Okay.
So, you know, more yards through the air. Three touchdowns each way. So, the passing game was the more potent version of the offense. But I wouldn't say, you know, that was because they were going away from the beer. I think they were using that, and the fact that Sedalia, like most teams do, was playing heavily in the box.
Sure.
Trying to stop the Veer to then open up receivers downfield.
Yeah. So the end result is basically the 2 seed beats the 7 seed. You kind of expect that going in. And it's kind of one of those games where you go, okay, yeah, that's a commanding win. So that's kind of what you want to see from a heavily seeded team against a less you know, heavily seeded team. So now it sets up tonight's game where it's a 7 o'clock start. Cap City hosting number 3 seed Lebanon. Lebanon, I think, kind of, I don't know if I would say opened eyes, but I think they were commanding last week too as the higher seeded coming in. You know, they really put it on Jeff City and won 49-7. I think that was one of those where, you know, we had seen some signs that the Jays might be in trouble just because of the way the season had played out and kind of the struggles they'd have. But I don't know if I saw maybe 49-7. That was really kind of a decisive victory.
Yeah, I think the Jays, you could kind of see it when they played Capital City earlier in the season. The physicality of playing a triple option, which Lebanon also runs.
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But the physicality that comes with dealing with a triple option might have just been a little bit too much for the Jays, especially I know they were missing a couple of key guys.
Right.
And, you know, if a game gets a little bit out of hand and the other team is still playing that physical brand,
right,
it just can spiral out of control pretty quick.
So let's get to the triple option, and obviously the main option of the triple option is the running back Glenn Denning, who, I mean, what a game last week. I mean, I think he had, you know, 300 yards by halftime. He ended up with 400 through only about three quarters of play, I guess.
Had a 30-yard passing touchdown.
Exactly. So you go, that's enough. And then he shows you that he can also whip the ball downfield and for a score. So I think that it's no secret to say the focus this week has to be on limiting the damage that he can do.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Trevor about it a little bit, and a lot of that damage came on dives. Right.
Right.
So, you know, it's not dissimilar from some of the games that Jalen Thomas has had.
Sure.
Right? Production-wise, it's a bit bigger than we've seen from Jalen.
Right.
But, you know, just that ability when the physicality kind of overpowers another team to just take a dive up the middle for 70 yards.
Right, right.
Or, you know, however far a couple of his scores were. I know he had a couple of big ones.
Oh, multiples. I think he had multiples over 50, you know, where at a 50, a 8, a 60, something like that. So, that's just, you know, it's kind of unheard of when you go have something like that to consistently be able to break multiple. I think one of the shortest gains he had was like 8 yards. You go, if the shortest you're having is 8, you're having a lot of success doing whatever you're doing.
Well, I'm pretty sure he averaged about 21 a carry.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, we've seen that type of game from Jalen before.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what this offense can do if you have an electric back.
Sure.
But if he's doing that on the dive,
right,
it's going to be a little bit different playing against a team that has a full understanding of what to read in a triple option.
Right.
That was a couple of my questions for Coach Collier this week.
Sure.
And just that's going to be a little bit more up to the physicality necessary.
Right. So does what the Cavaliers do on a normal basis defensively fit an ability to slow this down at all, or are they going to have to kind of give some different wrinkles to maybe what they normally do to slow down a back like this?
I mean, they'll give some different wrinkles, I'm sure. There's a reason every team plays Cap City by stacking the box.
Yeah.
It's because it's the best way to stop a Veer.
Sure.
It doesn't always work.
Right.
But that's the best way to do it. If you play a natural defense against a Veer, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
It's not technically a Veer that Lebanon runs, but a triple option.
Yeah.
But, you know, Capital City has, like I said, a very healthy understanding.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of guys on the Cavaliers play both ways. So they have an understanding from the offensive point of what exactly you're reading off of what the defense is doing.
Right.
Right. So if you know, as an offensive player, what you're looking at to read from the defense to make certain choices go certain ways.
Yeah.
And then you flip around to be the defensive player, you know exactly, you know, you can counter the counter.
Right? Sure, right, right.
Like the offense is making a decision based on what you're doing. You know that that's about to happen.
Right.
So then you know what to do to then flip it the other way. Right. Right? You're playing off of each other, you know, 4D chess or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You're making the next choice already.
Right.
So I think that understanding, and both teams have that this week, is going to play into just the overall outcome and success of the run games.
So I think this has to be one of those situations where you go, you know what, if we're going to err on the side of leaning too hard one way or the other, we're going to err on let's commit to stopping him.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that does also then, if you lean too hard that way, then obviously you open the ability for some other guys to make impacts. I don't feel like Levin is probably going to come into this game and go, we're going to go down firing with our second best option. So I think we're still going to see a healthy dose of Glendening no matter what happens. But is there somebody else that you go, okay, we also have to maybe be aware of this tonight because this could potentially cause a problem if this guy has a big game?
I don't know about an individual player, okay, but you know, you can see they also had more than 100 passing yards last week. You know, that's obviously a piece of their offense that they're comfortable going to.
Sure.
So yeah, if you know, like Cap City has done the last couple of weeks, it's real fun talking about these two teams comparatively when they're very similar, stylistically at least.
Yeah.
Like Capital City has done the last couple of weeks, if you sell out fully to stop Glendening, then that you open up the pass game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lebanon has shown that they can do that, and they can beat you with it if you leave that open.
Right. So on the flip side of the ball, I guess the big question is do we get to see Jaylen tonight? Is that going to be a part of the option, or are the Cavaliers going to be kind of playing again with, you know, one hand tied behind their back?
This is where I'll bring up that we're talking on Wednesday, and I talked to Coach Collier on Wednesday. As of my conversation with Coach Collier, Jaylen was getting on the field for the first time since exiting in week 9.
Okay.
So he's out of a boot. He's getting got taped up, put on some cleats, and ran around the field today.
Okay.
I don't know the outcome of how that went.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of seeing where his progression is at as you go through Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. So I guess the again, if we're going to, I mean, I got a funny feeling this game might fly by just with both teams being, you know, runaway.
It might be about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, so I guess that then heightens the, you know, importance of, you know, it's always important to try to score every time you have the ball, obviously. It goes without saying. That's pretty stupid. But I think in this game, this might be heightened because I think the possessions might be shortened.
Yeah.
And from the standpoint of, like, you know, if unless, you know, they're ripping off giant runs and scoring quickly because of that. But I could also see, you know, possessions eating up half a quarter, maybe three quarters of a quarter, and then you're getting the ball and you're going, okay, if they score, we got to, you know, make sure we score because, you know, a quarter of the game's already gone.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting looking at both of these teams have regularly scored in the 40s.
Right.
So, you know, they're being efficient and scoring on six or seven drives in a game.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you're going against defenses that are probably a little more prepared to see what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about. So, you know, if you're getting 5, 6, 7 total drives in a game, you're going to have to score 4, 5, 6 times.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, especially because these teams are more prepared to face each other than other teams usually are to face them.
Yeah.
That's going to extend those drives out of it.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going to end them quickly.
Right.
It doesn't make them that much more likely to get a 3 and out, but it probably makes them more likely to not give up big runs, which is, you know, how you get 8, 9, 10 drives out of a game while running this offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're piling up 10 to 14 play drives instead of 5 play drives,
right,
that's going to take that total number of possessions down to, you know, maybe 5 or 6 each.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll get to the prediction point in a minute, but I just kind of want to feel you out at this point and say, do you see this one maybe being a high-scoring one with both of them being hyper-efficient, or do you maybe see this one as being one of those where we might be surprised at the end of the day and go, this one might end up being like a 21-14 game rather than, a 45-38 game sort of thing?
I think it's probably in the 20s.
Okay.
If you gave me an over-under of 50, I think I would take the under.
Okay. Okay.
I do think this game's going to go by very quickly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, both of these teams are very prepared to, know what to do to keep those big plays from happening, especially.
Right.
So, longer drives, fewer drives,
right,
lower scoring.
Yeah. So I think this is one of those games where, as you know, as a a defensive player, there's a lot of times where it's you're always kind of underappreciated. We're always more inclined to talk about offense. We're always more inclined to kind of give them glory. I think this is one of those games where you look at it and go, okay, there have been times throughout the season where Kep City's put up some very, very good defensive numbers in terms of certain games. There's been others where they've given up a decent amount of points, but I do feel like this might be one of those statement games where I think maybe you might be surprised that both defenses come into this game itching to kind of go, hey, we want to show how good we are. So I think this might be one of those where, I think the team that maybe wants to prove themselves a little bit more might have a big impact on tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be, I think if you're talking about a single group statement game, this is the defensive line game, right?
Right, right.
It's those guys up front and seeing what they're able to do to stop the run.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think there's a good chance that, Capital City already plays an incredibly physical brand of football every time they come out.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if they are even more physical this week than they usually are.
How important is it to have this game at home tonight, too? I think, we've talked a couple times this year about the increased maybe home field advantage that the Cavaliers are starting to develop. How important is it to have this game here tonight?
I mean, number one, Lebanon's kind of far away.
Right.
Trevor experienced that last week. Not having to be on the bus that long is nice.
Yeah.
And, it's big to be able to have it at home. And this is the first time Capital City has gotten to host a district semifinal.
Yep.
This is the farthest end of the season that a home game's been played at Cap City. And, it's big for the program just to be able to keep playing in front of the home fans, not force everybody onto a bus for 2 hours or however far it is to Lebanon. And, keep the legs fresh and not have them cramping up on there.
So, I guess the other thing that we need to talk about is we've talked about the one main injury that's affecting the Cavaliers. How's the rest of the squad looking in terms of any noticeable problems coming into tonight's game?
Dings and bruises, but, we're 10 weeks into the football season.
Everybody's got those. Yeah.
Dings and bruises.
Yeah.
So, I don't think anyone else is expected to miss the game due to an injury.
Okay. Guess that gets us a prediction, and I'll ask you, do the Cavaliers live to fight another week?
I'm going to say yes,
okay.
And like I said, I would take an under 50, so I'll say Capital City wins 28-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.